I'm still getting used to being introduced as the money guy. I mean, being trained as an engineer and spending most of your life as an entrepreneur, it's kind of funny to be called the money guy. But being introduced as the money guy, let me tell you that in terms of the theme of today's discussion, which is WA or Perth ready for more than mining, let me tell you, money is not the issue, right? Now, that also begs the question, what is the issue? And anybody that has chatted with me before knows the answer to that question. And in fact, Conrad stole a little of my thunder, so there's a clue as the answer to that question. If money is not the issue, what is the issue? Let me give an example. If we're talking here about technology ventures, there is today in Australia $500 million, that's a B billion, you know, $500 million, available to invest in technology ventures. Right? That's available from the venture capital community. That's a profession, and I'll talk about what is venture capital in a second, but there's $500 million sitting, waiting to invest in technology ventures. And I'm sure with all the wealth that's been created in Perth at the moment, there's a bunch of folks that have, as we call them, high net worths, that are interested in investing in that cool technology thing, the next cool technology project. There is a lot of money available. Okay, so maybe the issue then is there good technology? We just heard Conrad talk about that. 15 ventures in the last, what is it, three years? 15 ventures out of Curtin University alone. Now, Curtin is, along with Murdoch University, very good at understanding their technologies that can be commercialized and helping them come outside the university. But from our point of view, Stone Ridge Ventures, we have seen over the past 18 months since we've been operating, 256 technology-based deals, right? Now, if anybody wants to do the math on that, that's basically a new deal every day of the week, every working day of the week, right? So there's plenty of technology ideas out there. So if we've got the money, we've got the technology ideas, why aren't we here today talking about what's next beyond the technology innovation for Perth, right? We don't have an industry today that is sustainable, that has reliable returns. We don't have an industry where we can point to all those great success stories. We have some success stories coming, but we don't have an industry today that I think is mature. And when I make that statement, I make it not only for Perth, I make it also for Australia. So I probably should step back just before we talk all about this what is VC or venture capital? It's very well known in the US. If you went to Silicon Valley or you went to Stanford University, venture capital is a well-established part of the market there. Companies that you've probably heard of, Google, Yahoo, Cisco Systems, Apple Computer, are all examples that were started based on venture capital backing. So I'm going to make a claim that venture capital is not just a company maker. These are actually industry maker, right? Things like the internet, I would claim, would not have started anywhere near as rapidly without venture capital backing. So venture capital is an integral part if you are going to create or take innovations and turn them into companies, but maybe even a more bold claim is if you are going to create new industries, venture capital is an essential part of that system, and it's why the US is so good at creating new industries and we in Australia are so good at adopting new technologies, right? That's the difference. There has been some claim recently, and some of it has led to some cancellation of a federal government program, the Commercial Ready Program, which I think Justin's going to talk a little more about. But there is some belief that all the innovation happens in the big companies. Well, yes, on a macro level, that's true. There's lots of innovation that happens in big companies, but it's incremental change. The disruptive technologies, the things that discover new drugs, the things that create new industries, those things are not, by and large, funded within large companies. Venture capital is the funder of breakthrough or disruptive technologies. So what do we have here in Perth? Well, we don't have that industry yet, and John's claim is we probably shouldn't, and I actually agree with him, by the way, that we should not try and compete with Silicon Valley. But before I get to that, let me just talk to a little anecdote, which is occasionally I give guest lectures at the various universities in the business schools, and I go in just to do one pitch or one-hour talk within their classes. And I ask everybody, and I won't embarrass you here by doing the same, but I'm saying before I came to this class, put up your hands if you knew what venture capital was. Now, these are MBA students, so you'd think relatively commercially literate. Of a class of 30, you would get two or three hands, right? Now, if I was in Stanford and asked that Stanford MBA and asked that question, of course, all 30 students would put up their hands. They knew what venture capital was. But more interestingly, if I then asked the second question, who wants to be a venture capitalist, they'd all keep up their hands as well. Right? It tells you something. Now, the point of that anecdote is not to kind of say, hey, hang on, you know, there's something wrong here. It tells you about the maturity of the industry in Australia. We don't understand the value of venture capital. We don't understand where it fits into the system, and therefore it's not helping the creation of innovation. Okay, so enough of that aside. We know the US has got it right. We know we haven't got it here. We're an immature industry. Now let's get on to the good news. We're starting to get there. So for the purposes of what I want to chat about today, I'm going to make a distinction. When I talk about venture capital, I'm talking about the investment in high-risk technology innovations. And there's a lot of confusion about there is other venture capitalists around, but I would classify them as private equity, and that is people who buy an existing business, an existing running business, and buy it privately or take it off the stock exchange and get it owned privately, but managed professionally by professional money managers. There's lots of examples of that in Perth. Dome Cafes, for example, is a business, good business, bought by private equity. That is not, in my sense, venture capital. Venture capital is the creation of new companies and the creation of new industries. And by the way, private equity is a very important part of the overall system as well. That whole idea of reconstruction of a company's capital, buying out shareholders who have maybe, a family where the patriarch or the matriarch that started the company has lived through the life of the company and wants to move on, or the children don't want to run the business or there's dispute about it. That's where professional comes in and buys that business. It has an important role in the overall funding of the industry, but it's not what I'm talking about. It doesn't create new industry. By the way, the private equity part of the markets here in Australia is very mature. You see Macquarie buying, airports. You see Qantas, challenges to buy Qantas. All those things, that's a very mature, well-established. It's the venture capital that's immature. So, having said that, where are we at in the development of this venture capital industry and funding these exciting ventures and turning them into real companies and actually making money out of it, which ultimately we want to do is return money to our investors, which, by the way, you're probably all investors, because if you've got money in a superannuation fund, they allocate some of those super funds to investment in venture capital. So we all want this to be successful because, A, we want to create new industries, we want to create more jobs, and we want to create more wealth. It's a good thing to do. So where are we at today? The stats are... there are probably, I would call, in terms of well-established venture capitalists in Australia, there are probably about 5. That's a very small number, by the way. My criterion for that is that they are actively investing a fund that is larger than $150 million, right? So there's only 5 of them, and by the way, they're all relatively specialist in what they look at. So if you go to them, it's very hard often to kind of find, there's maybe only 1 or 2 that might be interested in your innovation. So there's about 5 in Australia. None of those are in Perth. Below the 5, there's probably another 10 who I would call the upstarts. That's us, Stone Ridge Ventures. Now I'll put in my shameless commercial. I'll put in my shameless commercial. We started about 18 months ago. We're up and running. We've got $60 million under management. We're actively investing. And we, as I said, we love getting in early and love building companies out of raw ideas. Commercial over. But those companies like ourselves were all probably subscale. And to be honest, we probably wouldn't survive without government support. A big part of our $60 million under management, about 20-odd million of it, comes from a federal government fund, a grant called the Innovation Investment Fund. And as and up until the budget last week, about half the money we put into the company used to be leveraged by a ComReady grant. By the way, that's gone now. So if you want to make this harder, they just did. But I won't steal any more of Justin's thunder on that. Perth has 2 venture capital firms, Titan BioVentures, which is actually invested in Sensia, and ourselves, Stone Ridge Ventures. We tend to be a bit more generalist. We will invest in a broad range of technologies. And our vision, by the way, is that over the next 3 to 5 years, we will be number 6 or number 7 in that list of established venture capitalists here in Australia. So then you put all of that in context and you say, hang on a second, you listen to what John said. We're a great mining town. We have a lot of success and a lot of wealth creation ahead of us as a great mining town. And then you have a look at what I just said. How would we ever compete with Silicon Valley in terms of our ability to invest or create new ventures? That's an industry that's well established and well known and well understood. Why would we bother? right? Why would we bother? It's just too hard. You know, the reality is I can go get a very well-paid job at with a mining company. You know, it's just a lot easier, right? And then you look at it, you know, from a Perth, and that's even from an Australian context, from a Perth context, you know, we're an outpost in a remote land of technology innovation. You know, the heart of it all is in America. There's pockets of it in Israel. Israel's quite successful, by the way. An interesting case study if you ever have time. But here we are in Australia, a remote land from all of that stuff that happens in the Northern Hemisphere, and Perth's an outpost. We'll never compete, and we should never, and I agree with John in that. We should never compete. However, there is something we can do, and John mentioned it, and what he was talking about is there are niches. The opportunity for us, and you actually hear it a little bit in what Conrad was talking about, Cool Energy, Scanalyze, those are technology innovations related to our core strength, which is mining. Our best successes over the past 18 months have all been related, not unsurprisingly, to investments in technology that improve the productivity of the mining industry. If we've got a chance for a competitive advantage, let's back ourselves, right? Let's back our areas of success, and then take some of those successes. So, for example, Scanalyze that Conrad referred to, that we had the opportunity to be the world leader in that piece of technology. We've developed it in a university. We've got good intellectual property behind it, but we have customers on our back door, and if we can sell it there, we can sell it anywhere in the world. Another investment that we've made, a company that, by the way, when we, this is, Stone Ridge is a spin out of another company. So we made this investment, prior to the spin out. We invested in this, about two and a half years ago. The company has doubled its revenue year over year for the last 4 years. So it was $4 million in revenue when we first looked at it. $8 million first year after that, $16 million the year after that, and on track to, pretty close to doubling again this year, and we'll go probably 50% growth next year. That's a great story. That's a good business. That's a good business. Again, technology for the mining industry, helping at companies called Intellection, by the way. Another one, I won't steal any of Justin's thunder, but Sensia, great fundamental research turned into an application in the mining industry. So I think if we had those resources-related technologies, we focus on those, we pour capital in them, we have the chance to build some self-sustaining successes. And what I didn't talk about before was... you know, what makes the industry work in the US is that the people who were the founders of one startup become wealthy, they buy a Lamborghini, 2 weeks later they're bored, so what do? They turn around and angel invest in the people that used to work for them, they put the angel invest in and they mentor them to start the next company. Those people who were the kind of mid-level managers become the new CEOs and VPs. Guess what? They're successful. They buy a Lamborghini, get bored, do the same thing all over again, right? We're not in that stage here in Perth yet, but boy, do we want to get there. well, maybe not Lamborghinis, I don't care. There's a few other areas where we might be able to create successes, but they're less mature than the resources area. Tissue technologies, for example, clinical cell culture, not the commercial outcome that we would have all liked. Great technology. Fiona Wood, a great mentor of a lot of people here in Perth, and we actually have two investments in our portfolio where Fiona is on the board and or a mentor related to tissues technologies. One is Orthocell, so if anybody's got rotator cuff problems, oops, second commercial, by the way, rotator cuff problems, we'll solve that for you. And then the other one is negative pressure wound therapy solution, so for ulcered wounds that never repair. And then telecoms, we used to have, and that was my background, we used to have quite a bit of a critical mass going there, but we haven't quite capitalized on that in the way that I would have liked. It hasn't grown. We've kind of occasionally get a new company out in the telecom space. So what does all that mean? Where to from here? First thing we've got to do is get some wins, and I think companies like Intellection, companies like Scanalyze will be some successes, and those successes will breed more successes. People like to say, hey, you know, he or she's got a Lamborghini, I want one, how do I do it? And I know I'm kind of trivializing that, but success breeds success. But here's the answer to the question. What was the question I started with? We've got money, we've got ideas, what are we missing? People, right? The key to making these things work are the executives who are prepared to take the risk on this unbelievable journey. It's very complicated. It's very difficult. It's very unlikely to succeed, but it's unbelievably rewarding when you get it right. So the issue is getting those people that are prepared to take the risk, have the success, and then turn around to be the mentor for the next generation, the angel investor for the next generation, and worst possible case, they end up being venture capitalists. Thank you.